Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
God's word is that this week is the beginning of the banquet. So this week, I'm going to put you on a bread and water diet. All the kitchen staff said, yes, please. It'll be a nice, easy week for us. Let's understand what this means. I want you to turn, first of all, to John chapter 6, so that you know you're back in the flow of blessing, starting in John's Gospel. John chapter 6. Jesus talking about being the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven, the bread that God has supplied. Now, let me just give you some revelation about eating. On the table there is some bread. I could stand here and say, oh bread, come to me. I want the bread. Come to me, bread. You can satisfy all my needs. Come to me. And you would be the most surprised people on earth if the bread leapt off the plate and came to me.
That's right.
You would say, well, if you want the bread, that's not the way to go about it. Now, of course, Jesus is referring here to himself as the Word of God. The bread of life, the Word of life. In the beginning was the Word. In him was the light that is the life of men. So, of course, I could look at the bread. I could say, oh my, isn't this wonderful? I can look at the Word and say, how wonderful, how great, what a mighty God to give us such a word. I could study the bread. Oh, I really want to discover all I can about the truth of this bread. Actually, I'd like to be a teacher of the bread. And you would say, strange creature. What is bread there for? Bread is there to be eaten. Now, when you eat something, it becomes part of you.
Yes.
That's why you eat it. I don't understand all that has to happen chemically for that to take place. But if any of you have got a spare 3 days, Elizabeth would explain it to you. She understands all these things. But I get energy, growth, all kinds of things because I'm consuming the bread. Now, if this is the word of God, I've got to eat it. Not look at it, study it. Not even just believe that it's bread. I've got to eat it. I've got to consume it. So it becomes part of me. Now, if I do that, whatever I consume will end not only by being part of me, but will end in action. So if I consume the word that says love, I will love. If I consume the word that says give, I will give. The loving and the giving is the evidence that I have consumed the word. Not just looked at it, not just studied it, not just believed that it is bread, but it's become part of me. And therefore it leads to action. So if I consume the word that says I am a witness, I will be a witness. If I consume the word that says go into all the world, then I will go. Whatever I consume will end in positive action. If I consume what the word says about serving, I will serve. If I consume what the word says about reaching the lost, I will go and reach the lost. But I can look at what the word says, see what I'm supposed to do, and still not do it. Because I haven't consumed it. So it hasn't become part of me. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Now, equally, I could stand over here and say, I'm thirsty. I want a drink. Water. Come to me. Come and satisfy my thirst. And it would be even more remarkable than the bread moving if the water leapt out of the cup and into my mouth. You would say, well, don't be a clown. If you want the water, you come to the water and you drink. You don't just look at it and say, oh, praise God, I've got the water. Oh, this I've got now, what will satisfy my thirst? You say, well, if you're thirsty, you'll drink. You won't study the water. Oh, a wonderful water. Do you know, I am going to write a book on the theology of water. And this, of course, in Scripture, is the living water of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Word and the Spirit represented here. So what am I to do with the Spirit? I am to drink, Jesus says. And if I drink, what happens? The water becomes part of me. The bread and the water nourish me, strengthen me, enable me. Just turn over the page to John 7. And you can read the words of Jesus. Verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now, if I'm over here, and I'm hungry, I will go to the bread. If I'm thirsty, I will go get the water. I won't say, but I already have the bread. For the last several years, I've been eating the bread. The bread is already part of me. Praise God, I have the bread. No, if I'm hungry, I say, I need more bread. Similarly, I won't say, oh, this is ridiculous that I'm thirsty. I drank yesterday. And I've been drinking for many years. Say, no, wait a minute. The body needs continually to be sustained with the food and with the drink. Why should Jesus have initiated Holy Communion? Bread and, in that case, wine. To remind us that when we receive Him, He becomes part of us. But we need to go on continually receiving. Continually receiving. Why? Well, if you had a meal yesterday, that would sustain you. It could sustain you for a few days. You could decide to fast, and therefore the food that you have received yesterday could sustain you for several days. But you would get hungrier and hungrier, actually. But what you couldn't do, even for a few days, is to go without any food or any liquid. You would very rapidly die. You would need at least some water when you fast. You need to take in some liquid. So, obviously, there is a spiritual parallel to what we need physically. Now, what you have on the table there is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. What does Jesus say? He says, come to me. All you who labor, heavy laden, come to me. What does he say to the thirsty? Come. 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 He came so that now we come. Now, where is this nourishment? It's actually in the Holy of Holies. It's in the inner sanctuary of God's presence that we can feed on Him, not just study Him, not just hear Him, not just listen to Him, but feed on Him in word and spirit. In the Holy of Holies. What did Jesus do on the cross? He opened up for us the way into the Holy of Holies. This bread is not for the non-believer. I'm not talking about communion, I'm talking about the Word of God, because the non-believer can't understand it. Spiritual things can only be discerned by those of the Spirit. Now, God wants to feed everybody with His Word, doesn't He? The Spirit is not for non-believers. God will give the Spirit to those that are born again. They will be born of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. So for us to be fed and watered spiritually, Jesus had to open up the way into the Holy of Holies. Now, you might think that what we're supposed to do is come and receive and then take the bread and take the water out into the world. But no. What we're to do is to bring people to Christ so they come right into the Holy of Holies to be nourished, to be fed, to have their thirst fulfilled. So in the parable, Jesus said, the banquet is ready. He didn't say, go and take the banquet out into the world. He said, go into the world and invite people to come into the banquet. He said, go and do everything you can to make them come in to where the banquet is. Because these things are so holy, they're not to be cheapened in any way. So there's a process that has to go on to enable us to walk in the way that Jesus has opened up into the Holy of Holies, where we can be fed and nourished and our thirst can be satisfied. In opening up that way, what was God's purpose? What was His desire? What was His intention? His intention was that every day we should come in and eat and drink. Because just as the body needs sustenance every day, so your spirit needs sustenance every day. Oh, people can exist over here, but they will only prosper spiritually by coming in and feeding. You see, He gives the bread. So you need to be close enough to Him for Him to give you the bread. You don't have to be too close if you're just going to look at it, study it, examine it, talk about it. But to receive it from Him involves a certain intimacy, doesn't it? And similarly with the water. Come to me and drink. Just turn to Isaiah 66. This is a scripture I read to a team the other day, but without... Actually, you can turn to chapter 60, first of all. The middle of verse 15. I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, and the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call her walls salvation and her gates praise. What's God saying? He said, all that is the fruit of coming and drinking, of being nursed at royal breasts. Now, if you just think for a moment of the natural, a baby feeding at his mother's breast is a very close and intimate kind of picture, isn't it? I used to love just to watch my wife feeding our three children. There was something so close, so intimate, so loving, so natural. And if you go on to chapter 66, this analogy is continued, verse 11. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. Now, all this is actually, these are prophecies about Jerusalem, about Zion. But you see, we are the people of Zion. I said we are the people of Zion. So they're prophetic words about us. But you see, what do they speak of? They speak of this intimacy with God. You see, we can stand at a distance and say, Lord, come. And Lord, I want. Lord, I need. Lord, I desire. But the bread and the water will stay exactly where they are. Why? Because Jesus says, come. Come actually into the intimate place where you can feed from me. Now, I want you to get hold of this, you see. There is something so intimate about what God is saying to us this morning. He wants you close. He wants you as close as a child feeding at his mother's breast. He wants you literally to come so close to him that you're drawing life out of him. That the life that is in him flows into you to nourish you. But what does a baby do if the mother's breast is not available? It yells its head off. It will cry and cry and cry, just like many Christians.
Right.
And you listen to a hungry baby crying, and you can tell, I mean, when you have kids, there are different kinds of cries. There's a cry out of pain, there's a cry when they want to be changed, but there's a hungry cry. And if the hunger is not satisfied, the cry gets more and more frustrating. You can tell the poor little mite is just frustrated. It's saying, I'm hungry, come on. But you see, there are a lot of Christians that are crying. Oh God, I need more of you. So God says, well, come then. Come and drink. Come and eat. Come close. Come into the place of intimacy. Now, if the mother hears the baby crying, here's a, for all you unmarried ones, this is a bonus in childcraft. If the mother hears the baby crying, what does she do? She comes to the child. She's responding, but still the child has to come to the mother. The mother has to pick the child up, and still the child has to come to the breast. I'm all in favor of breastfeeding because I never had to give any of my children a bottle. We never possessed a bottle. Three children never possessed a bottle. Hallelujah. But you know, just as my wife was a bountiful provider for our children, so God is a bountiful provider for all of His children.
That's right.
He will never run dry. He will never run out of the food that will nourish us.
Right.
So, what's God saying to us this morning? Perhaps to some of us, He's saying, what are you doing over there?
Right.
What are you doing? Just crying with frustration, saying, I need God to do something new in my life.
That's right.
What are you doing? Just saying, oh, I'm not in the place with God where I used to be. Cries of frustration. But He is saying, come. Don't just study it. Eat it. Don't just know it's there. Drink it. Come and eat. Come and drink. God, you see, has sent His Son to be the way, to die on the cross, to make it possible for you to come. Not just at the beginning of your Christian life. People that think you just come once and receive once don't understand the purposes of God. That's why Paul says to the Ephesians, go on being filled with the Spirit. God wants us to be continually nourished. Because if we don't, we are trying to live today in yesterday's nourishment. And some haven't had a proper meal, spiritual meal, for days, weeks, months. Some Christians, not for years. And all they're saying is, I've received, I've received, I've received. I have the Word. I have the Spirit. Good for you. Scripture is clear about that. But you're only going to be nourished by what you have if you go on receiving what God is giving. Now, God being holy makes sure that the nourishment is in the Holy of Holies, that is, in His presence. And that's why He says, come. Don't just come to the outer court where you sing songs. Don't just come to the middle court where you know He is present. Come right into the Holy of Holies where you receive. It's one thing to know He's present, but it's another thing altogether to actually receive what He is present to give. So, if I come because I genuinely am hungry and thirsty, I'm going to come along this way of holiness right into the Holy of Holies. Now something's got to happen as I come, because no sin can stand in this place. So between there and here, I'm going to get cleansed. I'm not going to say, well, I was cleansed last month. Because I want to feed on Him, I'm going to get cleansed today and tomorrow and the next day, because every day I want to feed on Him. I want to receive Him. Every day I want to be in that place of intimacy where I can suck the life out of Him, where I can draw the life out of Him into myself, so His life becomes part of me. Which means I will then go and do the Word. The Holy Spirit, who reminds me of what Jesus says, reminds me that He says, come. The Holy Spirit is going to be working in me as I walk towards that place, so that I get cleansed. Just turn on to chapter 13 of John. Verse 6, He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, Lord, are You going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no part with Me. You can't be in that place of intimacy without the washing. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean. You see, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, well, you know, when you first came to the Lord, you had a bath. You were made completely new. But, as with everything, you get dirty with use. Hello? I mean, you know, isn't it nice when you've had your car cleaned and valeted and all looks so nice? Then along comes the birds and the rain and the mud on the roads and the salt, and before you know where you are, what was spanking clean has become dirty with use. Needs cleaning all over again. Well, you are like that. You get dirty with use. But God doesn't say, well, you need a complete revolution in every part of your being. He says, no, just the dirty parts need to be washed. You know, walking in open sandals in the dusty roads of Israel, the feet got dirty, dusty. So he said, well, your feet need cleaning. I'm not saying you need a bath in every part of you, but your feet need cleaning. Those that have got, those parts that have got dirty with use. So, the Lord wants to cleanse us. Because we are a clean people. It's not that we're dirty sinners, but we're a clean people. But there are parts that need washing afresh. You see, there are some who have this strange theology that says, well, Jesus forgave me when I died on the cross, so I don't need any more forgiveness for the rest of my Christian life. I don't never need to ask for forgiveness because if I sin, he forgives me anyway. Actually, people that believe that stuff. They even teach that stuff in this country.
Yeah. It's true.
But I tell you, those who teach that stuff don't know anything about the Holy of Holies. Experientially. Because what we can't do is cheat on God. He knows. And because he knows, he cares. Now, what's God going to do this week? What does he want to do? He actually wants to nourish us. He doesn't want us just to study his word, read his word, hear his word preached. He wants to feed us. He doesn't want us just to say, praise God, I have the Spirit, I have the anointing of the Holy One, the anointing abides. He says, come and drink. Because the more you are nourished, the more of Jesus you receive. The more he becomes part of you, if I can put it that way. The more of his life will flow from you. So what does Jesus say in chapter 7? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Then John explains, by this he meant the Spirit. What's he saying? Listen, if you come and drink, streams will flow out of you. Streams of living water. Now just ask yourself, what's flowing out of you at present? Or let me put it another way. Do you think it's possible for more of the life, the love, the power of Jesus to flow out of your life?
Yeah.
Well, it won't happen by you just wanting that. Or by you just praying for that. Oh Lord, I want more of your life to flow out of me. Because his answer is, well, why don't you do what my word says then and come and drink? And then rivers, streams, will flow out of you. It seems, you see, that this is a very exclusive thing to have to come right into the Holy of Holies, into God's holy presence before His throne and receive from Him. It seems almost a very selfish thing. Well, you know, I'm just concerned that I should come and receive. But Jesus is saying, no. This isn't selfish. Because this is what is necessary if your life is going to be a blessing. To all the people that I have planned for you to bless in my name. But just standing over here and crying, just standing over here and being full of good intentions, I must do something about my spiritual life. I am not really in the place with God where I need to be. Won't accomplish anything. Just crying with frustration like a hungry baby. Just means that that's what you are, a little baby spiritually. But God wants maturity. You see, when the baby is crying, the mother has to come and take the baby to herself. But as the child gets older, the mother says, come on, dinner time. You don't come to the table, you don't get the food. You have to learn to grow up. And Jesus is not going to come and wait on you. You are called to wait on Him. But the amazing thing is that He says, I'll wash your feet as you come. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you whole. And I'll nourish you. Feed on me. Drink. Drink deeply. For years, this is something that God has said to me regularly. He doesn't say, just come and drink. He says, Colin, drink deeply. Why? Because from deep within you, the rivers of living water are to flow. If you don't drink deeply, then you won't have deep within you what you need to nourish those I call you to nourish in my name. You see, all those of you who aspire to have ministries, especially public ministries with pastors, leaders, teachers, and all the rest of it, your real business doesn't happen on the platform or in the pulpit. The real business of your life is what goes on between you and God. That if you come and drunk deeply of Him, you will nourish the people, or rather He will nourish the people through you. I was talking to some of our guys the other day and reminding them of the piece of advice I was given before I was ordained, just before I was first ordained as a minister. Only one person actually ever gave me any advice. This was an elderly Christian. He was a layman. He wasn't a pastor. He was a wonderful man of God who actually had an influence on my life when I was a teenager. And he said these words to me. I've always considered them to be gold dust. He said, Colin, never minister to the people always minister to the Lord, and then He will minister to the people. I just knew I'd heard something so significant. I couldn't understand exactly how significant that was going to be in my ministry when I first heard it. But it is gold dust. Because you see, what are you doing when you come into the Holy of Holies? You can't come and just take. You can't come and just receive, because you only have to go into that place and immediately you are ministering to the Lord. You are full of praise. You are full of worship. I mean, you don't need a band. You don't even need tongues, actually. There's just something that wells up within you, and you've got to express to God how great and wonderful He is. And as you give to Him, so then He nourishes you. He speaks His word. So it's not just written in a book, but it is that spoken revelation of God into your life. The word that will make a difference to you that day. And He will pour the life of His Spirit afresh. This doesn't have to be a lengthy process when you do it all the time. You don't have to stand over Him and say, "Oh Lord, oh, what's it going to take for me to get there?" He says, "I've opened up the way." If you have the heart desire, if you have the willingness for me to cleanse you as you come, you'll be able to enter in easily, readily. But while you stand over there and moan and groan and cry and complain, nothing will happen. While you just pray, "Come to me, bread, come to me, water," nothing will happen. When I used to run these evangelism courses, people, when I was a pastor, church pastor, I always used to use this simple illustration. I used to say to people, "Just look at my two hands. Say, now this is you and this is God. And you can say, 'Lord, come to me. Lord, come to me.' And Jesus is saying, 'Child, come to me. Child, come to me.'" I said, "Now somebody's got to give way. Guess who?" And you know, nobody ever got the wrong answer. It's good to ask people questions that they can always get right. It makes them feel good. "Oh, that wasn't a trick question from the pastor. Oh, hallelujah, I got it right." All we've got to do is obey. To come and eat, to come and drink. So, beloved, that's what we're going to do from now until Friday. So by Friday you'll feel so full you've got to go and do something with it, you know. You see, you've just had Christmas. I'm sure you ate and had a great time and were probably full, and there were probably moments when you say, "Oh, I've eaten too much." Well, this week is your spiritual Christmas. And let me tell you, this is better than turkey and all the trimmings. Because you can eat the turkey, but no living water will flow out of you. Yeah. But you consume these gifts, and life flows out of you. Streams of life. So what am I describing this morning? I'm describing revival. What does it mean for people to live in revival? Well, actually, they never stray very far from the Holy of Holies. But they readily, every time they pray, actually, they're praying in this place. And, you know, they may pray 3 or 4 times a day, but whenever they pray, they get nourished. That's why, you know, I don't know that I did tell you last night, but when, you know, that move of God began at the Hyde, people were praying for 6 hours a day. Why? Because it was easier to pray than not to pray. It was difficult to stop praying. Why? Because people are actually in this place. Because we've met with God in His holiness. We were in this place. And you see, what that meant was we became carriers of His holiness wherever we went. That's why we saw this amazing response to the gospel. We never had altar calls. We never laid hands on people. They just came because of the holiness of God that was on His people. That's revival. People came into readily conviction of sin, but it was the quality of the converts. Why? Because right at the very beginning, they were drawn into the Holy of Holies. Listen, the alcoholics didn't have to go through a process of detoxing. They were immediately non-alcoholic. Amen. The addicts didn't have to go through cold turkey. They were immediately delivered. They were made new. People were receiving amazing miracles of healing, not because they asked to be healed, but just because they gave their lives to Jesus. They got not only saved, but healed. All par for the course. Why? Because streams of living water. We weren't just going and talking about the bread and saying the water is available. Come and we'll lay hands on you and you'll receive. As I explained last night, for 3 years, we never laid hands on a soul. Never needed to. People getting saved, filled with the Spirit, healed, delivered of demons, everything, without anybody ministering to them except the Lord. Directly. And we would see hundreds and hundreds of people on their knees and faces before God, and we would watch God. And I tell you, it was at that time that the scripture really came alive for me when Jesus said, I do only the things I see my Father doing. I used to be on my face on the platform just looking. I'd look up every now and again just to see what was happening. And I would see what the Father was doing. It wasn't anything to do with me. I wasn't doing a jolly thing. I was just praying. Well, God doesn't want to take us back to those days. He wants to take us on to greater days. Because that was the foretaste. This is the banquet. That lasted 10 months, 3 years, you could say. But the banquet, I mean, if the foretaste lasted that long, the banquet will be the revival for a generation that we have prayed for and believed for and that God has promised us. We are not talking about just having a feast this week. We are talking about revival for a generation. But it's got to start somehow. And it's going to start with Him. It's going to start with a holy people coming to Him. Just finish by looking at something in Romans chapter 1. Verse 6. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. Listen, the one to whom you belong is calling you. Draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. He's calling you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He's calling you because you belong to Him. This is where you belong. This is the one to whom you belong. You are feeding on the one to whom you belong. Then look at verse 7. To all in Rafi who are loved by God and called to be saints. What are saints? They're the sanctified, called, set apart people of God. And what did Jesus pray in John 17? He said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. What's he saying? I set myself apart. I give myself so that they may be truly given, consecrated, sanctified, made holy. And what did he pray for them? That the Father's love for the Son may be in them. And that I myself may be in them. In them. Why? Not because we're just carrying around the theoretical presence. Saying, well, I believe that the Lord is in me. Well, if He's in me, there's going to be some evidence of it. If I am nourished and I take His word and His spirit and they become part of me, something is going to be evidenced in my life that demonstrates that. Not just with my mouth, but because His life has become part of me. Why? Over the years have I learned to come and be nourished like this? Because God has called me to be His mouthpiece. And He says, He said to me, if you're going to be my mouthpiece, you've got to come and feed on me so that when you speak, my people are nourished. Not that they just hear, but they're nourished. There's a difference between speaking the word of God and nourishing people. And what I've learned is the more I come and allow Him to nourish me, the more people will be nourished when I speak. You see, what you guys have got to appreciate is this. With God, there are no shortcuts. There really are no shortcuts. Because He deals with life. I'm anointed. You're anointed. We're all anointed. But if you don't stay nourished, the anointing won't be fresh. Don't try to serve with a stale anointing, but with one that has been nourished by what God is imparting to you. So are you hungry and thirsty? Because this is the only food that satisfies. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. First, let's just thank the Lord. That He is the one who desires us to feed on Him, to draw the life out of Him, quite literally, to draw near with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith, to come right to that throne of grace, where we will find mercy and grace to help us, that He will supply whatever we need. Hallelujah. That He will nourish us in whatever ways we need to be nourished. He will actually heal us in whatever ways we need to be healed. Instead of asking Him to come and heal us, we just come to Him and get healed. Hallelujah. But that's not first and foremost why we come. We come for Him. We come for His sake. Because He is calling His children. And He's saying, come to Me, draw near to Me. Hallelujah. Can you respond from that? Not just with your head. Something needs to be happening in your heart this morning. Oh, yes, Lord. The Lord is saying, I want to nourish you. I want you not just to hear My word, I want you to feed on My word. I want this week, I want My bread, I want My living water to become part of you. I want you to receive more and more and more, so that from deep within you will flow rivers of living water, more of My life, of My holy presence will be manifested through your life. We praise You, Lord, that You do not withhold Yourself from any who come. You say that You will not turn away any who come, but You will feed all those who come. You will welcome all those who come. And we praise You, Lord.
We want a harvest. We want to be effective, Lord, in bringing people into the banqueting house. Porata para zataria lera bakara situba. Barata para zataria lera bakara siturisato para sutabalanduma. Barata para zataria lera bakara siturisantuma. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Korata para zataria letuba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.